This regular meeting of the Kissimmee Utility Authority to order, and would you please stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Awards and presentations.
Yes. Madam Chair, we've got a few awards and recognitions this evening. The first is for degree recognition. We've got our HR generalist from the Human Resources Department, Daisy Cahalas.
Very good.
Very good.
That's a big, that's great.
You worked hard. Next, we've got a 15-year service award for Nilda Medina. The customer service rep two in our customer service department. Congratulations. Edison, how are you? We're going to recognize Edison with a 20-year service award. He's a substation electrician in our substation.
Hi, Chris. Congratulations. This is some money for you to deposit in my bank account.
Thank you for everything you do. Here's reserved parking space for you. Thank you.
Secretary Ortega.
They all could pay. That's not a bad deal.
And Director Hemphill.
Congratulations.
Pleasure.
you get to go have some enjoyment at Osceola Arts. And here's a nice KUA shirt.
My first, actually. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll give a second for any of you that need to leave. To leave.
There goes the whole room.
We don't like you.
And if anybody wishes to address the board, if they'll come forward at this point.
Make sure you bring that up.
Yes, sir.
I don't think anybody would have heard you, did they?
I'll do it again. If anybody wishes to address the board, would they please make themselves known? Seeing no one, we'll move to the consent agenda.
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Public hearing, we have none. Informational presentations.
Madam Chair, we do have a presentation from Help Now, and I believe we've got Tammy Douglas here to say a few words.
Is this okay here? Good afternoon. Thank you all so much for allowing me to come here this afternoon to visit with you and share a little bit about our appreciation of your support of Help Now. The big button in the middle. Got it. Okay. Help Now, as you probably are well aware, has been serving the Osceola County community since 1981 under the auspices of Osceola Mental Health and became incorporated in 1983 as a domestic violence center and became certified by the state as our certified center here in Osceola County. This last year, we have had the extreme pleasure of working with one of our friends, Kelly Trace, and her company at Reach to rebrand our organization. So what you see here is our brand new logo this year. We felt like our board of directors kind of felt like after 35 years plus of having and doing this work in the organization and our growing community to try and kind of repackage and resell to the community who we are, what we do, and give ourselves a new face. So we hired Reach to rebrand our organization. We have this new logo. We also have a brand new mission statement that really clearly states what our mission is to help survivors, and a website that is easier for both survivors and supporters to navigate. So we're extremely grateful to have that opportunity this year, which without community support would not be possible to reach the survivors that we serve. Domestic violence, it continues to be an issue. I'm sure you hear in our local media outlets on a regular basis that it affects all of us in the community, has an extreme impact on all of us personally and in the business community. It affects 1 in 4 women and 1 in 14 men, and Help Now works with any survivor of domestic violence in our community. We are very appreciative of the amazing support that we have received over the years, and specifically in the last year, some of the things that we've been able to accomplish great things with your partnership and your help. In 2019, the Domestic Violence Awareness Month in October, we worked together with you to share a message of safety, empowerment, and healing. This is a picture of our ever-growing event for Domestic Violence Awareness Month in front of the courthouse. It is a walk for domestic violence awareness and ends with a candlelight vigil at the Kissimmee Police Department. And we had much to celebrate for the community coming together, but also much to mourn, as I'm sure you're well aware of the tragedies that we've experienced this year in domestic violence that have hit very close to home. This is a picture of the candlelight vigil at that same event. So with your support, these are some of the statistics that we have been able to accomplish. 239 survivors have received services in our shelter. We received 4,303 calls for help at the crisis hotline. We worked with individuals to create 5,468 safety plans that are individualized to each individual person's needs, provided over 12,000 hours of counseling and 17,000 bed nights of safe shelter to keep people safe. A total of 10,624 individuals have provided services in the last year at Help Now. That includes not only our victim services, our intervention services, but also our prevention services that we offer in working with young people to create healthy relationships.
Tammy, can I ask you a thing? Can you go back
just
a minute? When you say
yes,
safety plans created, what does that mean?
So for every survivor who calls on our hotline, anybody who walks through our doors, anybody who comes into our shelter, we do a safety plan with each individual based on their needs, their individual circumstances, whether coming into the courthouse and meeting with us to get an injunction for protection, if they're calling and they're in a situation and trying to leave the home and it's unsafe, we work with them on what they can do and strategies to keep themselves safe. And it's individualized to their circumstances right there in that particular moment. We update those safety plans as we do our work with them through time. So if they get a new job, what kinds of things can we do and plan on to keep that individual safe and keep those things in mind as they're living their daily lives and circumstances change?
Thank you.
Thank you again for coming out and supporting us at our annual Steak and Lobster Fest. This was in November, just last month. And then I just put a few slides up here. You're probably pretty well aware of our new projects and the work that we do. We have the crisis line, the shelter, the outreach offices and advocacy center where we do individual counseling and support groups, where we do our prevention work and our special projects. We have an office in the courthouse. We also have an injunction project where we provide free representation for anybody who is applying for an order for protection. We have Economic Justice Project, where anybody who's been a victim of economic abuse, we work with them to rebuild credit and all kinds of other things that are associated with that sort of abuse in the relationship. We have a really amazing project. I'm very invested in our child welfare project because domestic violence is the number one reason why children are removed from families. And we're working really hard for systems change to keep non-offending parents safe and together with their children. And then our INVEST project also is an enhanced project where we're working with victims who have high lethality. And then also our primary prevention that I mentioned, we're working with middle and high school youth. We have a new project with our primary prevention program this year where we're doing coaching boys into men. If you have people in your life that you know might be interested in helping lead the way to building healthy relationships with young people, well-meaning men who want to be involved, this is a coaching boys into men who are involved in youth sports and teaching them healthy strategies to keep the physical aggression in the court and on the field out of the relationship. So we are incredibly grateful again. Thank you so much for your ongoing support of all of the work that we do. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? All right. Appreciate your time and your continued support.
Thanks for all you do for the community. Old business.
Yes. Madam Chair, we use a number of systems and software here at KUA to support our ongoing operations, and along with that, we utilize annual maintenance agreements, and we've got two items here that are up for renewal. The first one is deals with our financial information system, and the second deals with our customer information systems, and here to tell you a little bit more about it is Vice President IT Jeff Gray.
Thank you, Brian. Hello, Board. So we're up for renewal. This is, again, an annual process that we do for our FIS software. A little history on that purchase and that software. We converted from an old HTE IBM mainframe back in 2007 into what we're using today. It was a very lengthy process, of course, to pull all of KUA's records, both financial and customer, out of that old system and get it all modernized. But what we gained from that experience, one, was, of course, modern computers, but also the ability to grow and have things added on with time, which has been really fantastic for us. So as we look at our growing costs each year for maintenance, is it usually increases some. Some of that is just your typical routine upgrades that all vendors charge with a little more each year to support it, and some of it is the modules that we were able to buy that plugged right into the system and gave us all of that dynamic efficiency to where we don't have to do the same process in two different systems. You do it in here, it comes out there, and tremendous efficiencies in our financial systems. Also, of course, to our auditor's delight, it's easy for them to come in and do their audit and report back to you on how well K-Way is managing our ratepayer money. Like I said, there's licensing and there's maintenance. Maintenance is the bigger part of it. That's the cost to upgrade. If Microsoft releases a new version of our financial software, we get that for free. Our only cost is the cost to actually do the upgrade and take care of any issues that that creates. So that's built into our licensing cost. But there's also certain modules we buy where they charge you by the only for the ones you use, but you pay by the module. So you have to, if you have five users, you have to pay a five-user license and so forth. And we keep that to an absolute minimum, but it is a recurring cost that we pay each year. In terms of our budgeting and forecasting, we estimated the cost for this to be $110,000 for 2020, and we came in a little under budget, which is good, at $108,000, and that is the recommendation as per stated in the agenda item.
I'll make a motion that we accept the recommendation by the Vice President.
I'll accept. I mean, I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
Thank you. And a similar story, CIS. Now, this is the heart of KUA's meter to cash. This is where the real business gets done at KUA. And it is also like the core of a city, if you will. Almost everything plugs into our customer information system, everything from outage management to some of the financials. I mean, you name it, it probably crosses the path through this main bus, if you will, of CIS. We also did this project in 2007 as we were, again, exiting the HDE software. So we were gluttons for punishment doing them both in the same year, but we got it done. Since that time, of course, we've added a tremendous amount of features that benefit our customers, everything from e-bill to good neighbor funds, Roundup, all those types of things are all going in CIS. And again, every system at KUA practically either touches this or touches a derivative from CIS. In all, $241 million in metered sales passed through the CIS system last year. And the cost of maintaining that software comes in, our estimate was $320,000, which is a very affordable amount when you consider how much the responsibility, the auditability, the extensibility, and all that came in at a great price at $320,000. However, there were some things that we negotiated with the vendor on that we felt were not accurate based on our usage, so we were able to get that down to $306,000, and that is the amount we recommend as per the agenda item for approval.
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, John.
Any new business? No. Staff reports?
Yes, ma'am. We've got Kevin Crawford here that's going to give us the unaudited year-end financial statements.
Madam Chair, good afternoon, Board. As Brian has stated, I want to present to you this afternoon the financial results of operations for the fiscal year ended September 30th, 2019. And before we jump into the financial statements, I wanted to share just a bit of good news that you've probably heard, but I wanted to elaborate on just for a moment. We have received this past month a credit rating upgrade from Fitch Ratings, one of the three major rating agencies that rate entities such as ours. And we received an upgrade from a AA minus to a AA. And we are proud of that for lots of reasons. As you can see, this is sort of the historical perspective of what our ratings have been. And the obviously the 2019 AA is the highest rating that we've had in the history of the utility. So we're quite pleased to share that with you today. We may have you, or you may be asking, you know, how that relates to what that looks like in terms of relative strength and weaknesses to other entities on this scale. And it's a big one, as you can see. They do a lot of, there's a lot of gradations to this. But previously we were here to AA minus, and now we've been moved up to a AA. So that gives you a relative indication of how we fare against other entities that they look at. And anything typically below or above a B or a triple B is considered good credit quality. And so as you can see there, that we're very high credit quality. And you may be asking, okay, you know, what does that mean for us? What's the value to that? And the good part about this rating, because this really applies when you generally are going out into the market to bond for indebtedness, for long-term debt, and these ratings to a large degree determine a lot of the aspects of your issuance, namely how much interest that you will pay over the life of the interest. In a similar fashion to your credit rating personally that you get when you apply for a loan, this is sort of similar to that in that respect. The better your rating, the better interest rate that you typically get, and investors are inclined to have more credit worthy, or see you as more credit worthy, and so you don't have to pay as much interest. So that's one of the reasons that, obviously we're not going into the market, we're not issuing debt, but the opportunity to have Fitch look at us from this perspective is a good way to have a third party evaluate KUA and how we are running our financial operations. Our auditors do that every year from an auditing standpoint, but Fitch looks at a little bit different things. They basically will take our budget years or our audited financials up to the point of this year, it was 2018, was our most recent audit. Then they take our 2019 budget, and then they kind of extrapolate that out. They take our five-year plan, and then they sort of blow it up, so to speak. They take various factors of stressors and apply them to our situation financially. What happens if revenues trail? What happens if your leverage increases? What happens if you have to go into the market? And they look at all those criteria, and they kind of look at where the numbers would fall if you had some lean years and some bad things happen. And even so, looking at it from that perspective, they still arrived at this conclusion that we were worthy of the AA. So some of the things that they looked at that they liked about KUA, it's interesting when you look at this, as Larry Madden pointed this out, we were talking about this in staff, this looks a lot, these are the pros, a lot like what we shared with you during our budget time, some of the things that we brought to you at that point and said, these are some things that we anticipate KUA being solid with. And as you can see, these have sort of been, looked at from a third-party objective, and they've deemed that to be an accurate assessment. Our low rates compared to our peers, and obviously by the board mandate of being in the bottom one-third, that adds strength to that. Our low operating costs. They basically look at all of your operating costs for the utility and divide that by the kWhs that you've sold. And ours at this point is about 10.8 cents per kWh. That's their metric, but they apply that metric across the public utility industry. We've seen some of our peers in the 12 to 13, and I've seen they shared with us that some of them go as high as 15 cents. And so 10.8 is actually a really good relative number to have in terms of operating kWh. We have great margins. As you know, our operating margins are good. We have declining leverage. We have no long-term debt on our books. We have just a small amount of CP that we have a plan to pay off within the next 5 to 6 years. Robust liquidity. We have strong reserves. Again, thanks to the board for allowing us to procure those and to keep those in place. And then stable and diverse power supply through the ARP. That's a great resource for us. When you look at the total cost of operating expenses, as we shared with you during budget, 74% of that is your fuel and purchase power expense. And so the biggest part of your advantage in competitively in the marketplace is going to be how you acquire your fuel at wholesale and your purchase power. Through ARP, we have a really competitive opportunity there, and we're allowed to get that through a very good rate. And so that gives us a strong and stable, diverse power supply. And then also favorable growth in our service territory. So, you know, you drive within a block of KUA and you see we're growing, and that's a great thing for a utility to see. Some of the things that they looked at us and said, okay, well, these are maybe some weaknesses that you would have to consider. Our reliance on tourism. So, you know, that's sort of an obvious thing for us. You know, we live within a shadow of most of the major tourist attractions in the state of Florida. And to the extent that we are reliable on the tourism industry, as some of our customers are, if that were to go away or to experience a recession, that could have a negative impact on earnings. Also, they did note that our reserves have decreased over the past few years. But as you know, that's been an intentional thing. We've done that to prevent us going into the marketplace, but still paying for all of our capital expenditures out of the cash register, so to speak, and not having to go and acquire debt. So as you saw during our budget time, our five-year plan is to bring those reserves back to the levels that you're used to seeing them at, but they did note that because of that, you know, the reserves had gone down since what they had seen in previous years. But those are things that they looked at, and overall, we're really happy about what we found out. So I wanted to share that with you today. For the year, we'll give you a quick overview of megawatt hour sales for the fiscal year. The quick answer is that we did great. We exceeded sales by about 2% over budget, and we were 4% over the prior years in actuals. So a great year for megawatt hour sales. I'll show you how that impacts financials in a moment, but that was somewhat due to customer growth, but also attributable to weather, as those are the two factors that drive most of our megawatt hour sales. Then moving into the metrics and the obtaining of our metrics by additionally achieving a positive net income of $14.2 million, we were able to achieve all the goals that the board has set for us to achieve, and for the fiscal year 2019, achieve a positive net income. So we're very happy about that. We've improved customer experience for the time period. For the time period since the beginning of this metrics being measured from October 2015 to current, we've been able to meet that metric, and we're at 21.6, and we stayed in the bottom one-third. So doing all of the previous requirements and meeting that one as well, we are happy about that. So this slide is a little bit out of place. You're used to seeing this after we talk about revenues, but before we get into the revenue piece and the financial statement, I think this might be a good preparatory opportunity. You'll notice that we have less net income than we'd budgeted. I'll get to that. I'll put that out front. We have less net income than what we'd budgeted. The reason for that is because we did not use rate stabilization and brought that into revenues from reserves to the extent that we had anticipated. The reason for that is because we have several big capital projects that have not been completed in the fiscal year 19 that will either roll over into fiscal year 20 or will be rebudgeted in the following fiscal year. And so while it may seem ostensibly like it's not a good thing, it actually is a good thing in the sense that we still have those reserves, and to the extent that we don't use them, they will stay in rate stabilization to be used at a future time. And so when you see that, I didn't want you to be put off when we get to the next slide, so we really had a net deposit, and you'll see that on the financials, into the rate stabilization of $10.9 million. We had used $6 million to stay in the bottom one-third, and we share that with you every time that we talk about financials. So you can see we budgeted to use 20.6. We actually had a net 10.9 deposit. And so that's a variance of about $31 million. When you see that, you go, wow, what happened? But that's what happened. So moving into metered sales revenue, this give you an overview of how we did this year. We expected to achieve $237 million in metered sales. We actually achieved $241 for a positive variance of $3.7 million, or 1.58%. Our bad debt, as you can see, we shared this with you last time. I think last year this ended up being a negative amount attributable to how well our customer service collections group does on achieving and collecting that debt. So we'd expected to have a negative value of $344,000. We're actually only $67,000 for a variance of $276,000. And again, they do a fantastic job of collecting that bad debt. So that's what causes that number to roll into the smaller amounts and into the variance. So the COPA, the cost of power adjustment, I shared with you earlier, there's a couple of moving parts in this piece, and so this deserves some attention. $47 million is what we'd anticipated to use this year through the COPA mechanism to true up our customers' bills and to bring them into the bottom one-third. We actually used $57 million, so that's a $9.4 million variance. So in other words, we gave back $9.4 million to our customers than we'd anticipated. And the reason for that is, and I'll get to that on the next page, our fuel expenses were lower. And because of that, we were able to give more of that back to our customers because the fuel portion of their bill was lower, and hence we were able to give back more of that we had collected through the COPA mechanism. So the COPA did exactly what it's designed to do. When fuel expenses are less than we expect, we're able to use that to true up, and the customers receive that money back into their pockets. And that's what the variance is for. The rate stabilization fund transfer, I shared that with you on the previous slide. We'd expected about $21 million to use. We actually deposited almost $10.9 million, and there's that big $31 million variance that you look at and go, you know, that's a big swing, and now we know why. Total operating revenue of $227 million was budgeted. We actually had $190 million, again, largely attributable to the $31 million that we didn't use in rate stabilization. Moving to the next on the ARP, the fuel and purchase power portion, our demand charges were about $6.7 million below budget, and energy charges, even with the additional sales, were at $42 million almost a $1 million variance. In the natural gas, which determines about 80 to 85% of our fuel expense, natural gas on the national basis is experiencing a high supply at this point through the entire year that we've seen for the calendar year and into the fiscal year in the fall as well. There's an oversupply right now of gas. Producers produced a little more than what they'd anticipated they were going to for this year. And because of the mild winter last winter, there's a little bit of a surplus on hand. And so that's been very positive, had a very positive effect on fuel prices for us. And that's one of the reasons why fuel expenses are so low this year, is because of the market demand is not what they'd anticipated. And so that's driving a lot of our fuel expense, and that's why our fuel expense in total was lower for the year. So our total fuel and purchase power was $125 million budgeted. We got at $117 million, and there's the $8 million under that we had anticipated. And that was returned to the customers through the COPA. Our operating revenue, we expected to be at $102. We actually came in at $73 for a $28 million variance. Moving through the departmental budgets, you can see that these were all largely positive variances due to a combination of right-sizing personnel. We had some repairs and maintenance that were not necessary within the finance administration. Several vacant positions unfilled throughout the organization. And then for HR, we did see that there was an underutilization of the tuition reimbursement that we had anticipated. And we also had less legal expenses in the HR department than we budgeted. And so that's always a good thing. So largely all positive variances within each department. The $938,000 overhead credit, I'd shared with you earlier, a few of the big capital projects that weren't achieved in this year are finished. And so because we didn't achieve that with the rapidity that we thought we would, there's an underutilization of the O&M towards overhead credits. And so that's why there's a variance there that's less than what we thought it would be. So basically when we use O&M labor on capital side, we credit O&M and it gets put onto the project on the capital side. We did less of that than we thought we were going to, and so that's why there's a variance to that. It's smaller than what we thought we would use. Net operating revenue is $65 million total budget. We actually came in at $39 million. Again, the biggest part of that attributable to not using the rate stabilization. The other operating expenses, I generally don't spend a lot of time here. These are all fairly straightforward budgeted. These are, you know, things like depreciation, transfer to the city, and interest revenue and expenses. All of these things very close to where they'd budgeted. So our change in net position this year, $39 million we had budgeted, as we actually came in at $14.2 million for the variance of $24 million that we show you there. That's all for the financial statements. Now, what will happen in January, if you listen really close, you can hear the auditors. They're next door in the Beck training room working away. We had them sequestered, and we don't let them out until they're done. So throw them a turkey bone. But they're working on that, and we are working with them now. We hope to have that to you in January, but there's a good chance we may be bringing you audited financials in February. GASB continues to give us pronouncements throughout the year, and we continue to get some of our third-party reports coming a little later than we'd like. But we gave them to you in February last year, and there's a chance we might do that again this coming year. And again, it's a mercy, we think, because we don't put you through financial statements 2 months in a row, and so that may be something to look forward to over the holidays. You can see here that we have a little bit more money at the SBA than we had in a prior quarter, and this really are short-term instruments that are invested there. The SBA can invest in things that are a little bit longer term than we do. With the interest rates that we're going the Fed lowered the interest rates, the Fed funds rate, about three times in this past year. And with the rates going lower, we don't like to lock in longer-term investments, and so we tend to keep them on the shorter-term horizon. When rates stop moving down in the Fed funds rate, and when we see them start moving the other way back up, then we'll typically shift our investment portfolio to a little bit longer term so that we can capitalize on that end of the yield curve that's moving in the upper direction. And so while rates are coming down, we don't want to extend ourselves to a long-term investment and then realize a loss when we have to get rid of that if rates come back down. So you can see the instruments we've invested in, largely the SBA for a portfolio of $120 million. And then moving towards the annual effective return, we came in at a very respectable 2.27%, which is just a few basis points below the SBA. And they have a little bit more liberty in what they invest in. We are a little more conservative. So that's why we tend to be a little bit less than what they do on an annualized basis. So all in, a very good year financially for KUA. Most of the things that we had anticipated seeing, like we shared with you a budget, have materialized. The biggest change is that some of our capital projects are going to get pushed out a little bit further. So to the extent that we've got reserves to use for that, we will do that. And the extent that we don't use those reserves, they will stay in rate stabilization to be used at a future time. So the auditors will bring that to you, the final report, early next year. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you have with respect to financials or otherwise.
One quick question.
Yes, sir.
Going back to the bond ratings.
Yes, sir.
How often do they review us? And at the end of the review, do they give us recommendation of how we can move up? Or
That's a great question. Typically, they only review you about once a year or even less frequently than that if you're not in the debt market. When you're going into the debt market, most utilities will issue every 2 to 3 years. So that's generally how often you see them do it. Somebody like us, it's almost on an as-needed basis. We may not see them again for a little while, which is why we embrace the opportunity to have them look at us now. But we can have them do it as often or as infrequently as possible. Due to the cost, we generally keep it to a lower amount given that it's not able to be rolled up into a cost of issuance. So we're paying, you know, out of pocket for that rating, so to speak. So generally about once a year, once every 2 years. And to your second question, the recommendations that you saw, they're somewhat vague about what it takes to get to the high rating. We ask, and again, we've talked to Moody's and different ones, and Charles has been a part of those meetings, and we're pretty direct. What does it take to get to this level? They always tend to hedge that just a bit because their metrics change from year to year, how they evaluate us. Their benchmarks change, and so they're really reluctant to give you specific advice on what they'd like to see you do. Just as a for instance, and here's just an example, years ago it used to be held against you if you had generation, because if you own generation, they saw that you had generation risk. Now, if you don't have it, they sort of see that as a risk as well. And so it's funny how they move around. They like to see things in reserves or how they like to see income. But to answer your question, they don't really give you a straightforward answer. So you kind of have to listen between the lines and get and that's what we typically try to do. Thank you.
But certainly, Kevin, addressing the things that they flag, like decreased reserves or things that you want to pay attention to.
Absolutely.
And we've got a plan in place to replenish reserves over the next couple of
years. Yes, absolutely. We take those recommendations, and like Brian said, the things that we brought you in the budget plan, those are all opportunities to look at those things that they've observed that we could improve on.
I might suggest that we're doing a very good job because you all do a very good job.
Thank you,
and
ma'am.
We don't chase them.
Yes, ma'am.
Rather, do our job anyway.
Thank you. That's
a darn good rating.
It's very good.
Thank you so much. We're very pleased, and thank you to the board for allowing us to be able to do that through the directives that you give us. So thank you to you.
Any other questions? Thanks a lot.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. Time to hear the attorney.
Thank you, Madam Chair, board members. That was fabulous news. I've got a couple items for you. One's in the other category. A State House member from Boca Raton, Representative Caruso, has introduced a bill to be considered. Hasn't been assigned to committees yet. It has a Senate companion bill. It's House Bill 653. And what it does is it prohibits municipal electric utilities from using any revenues they collect from providing electricity to contribute to general governmental functions. That would include the city's general fund.
Wow.
Yes, that's what it would do. It would restrict it would restrict municipal electric utilities to only using revenue exclusively for improving infrastructure related to electric operations. That would be a major impact to every single community that has a municipal electric utility in this state. So it does have a Senate companion, unfortunately, but looks like we might have a little bit of work to do in Tallahassee next year. I'll keep you all posted as things develop.
Well,
yes,
what
ma'am.
Is their philosophy behind that? Why what is the reasoning?
That's a great question, and my understanding is that the sponsor has a certain I don't know if it's philosophical or what, but has a certain distrust of municipal
animus, maybe.
animus is a good word. I don't want to think for the individual, but the sponsor isn't positively disposed.
And this doesn't address the franchise fee or whatever that IOUs pay to the city.
No, exactly. So
if nothing else, we need to push for a companion bill that somehow deals with that.
Well, you know, thankfully we do have a really, really good team in Tallahassee. They've always proved themselves again and again. It's unfortunate that yet again we will be fighting for something very fundamental to our existence.
Absolutely.
But we'll do it, and we'll do it well. But I wanted to keep you in the loop on that. If anything develops further before we go to Tallahassee in early February, I'll let you know.
I could assume that rep, he doesn't represent a public power, right?
He's got a little bit of Lake Worth Beach, but I believe.
Broward County.
Yeah, but no, it's – no, exactly. you know, it's certainly not in the public interest. I don't mind saying that. It's clearly not in the public
interest. Who's sponsoring it in the Senate?
I believe it's the senator for – is it Senator Perry from Gainesville? So Senator Perry's sponsored other bills in the past. And then on the other side, I know that that our present general manager communicated with all of you about the situation with Lake Cecile, the motel. We've turned service off because of a large past due amount that they owe us. They have some guests there that apparently have been there long enough that they could be considered tenants, and they have hired an attorney, and he has filed a motion for temporary emergency injunction to require us to put the service back on. We're fighting that, and Toho is joining us. We filed a responsive pleading saying why the case should be dismissed, the petition should be dismissed, and Toho has joined the pleading that we filed.
So they all... water as well.
Oh, yes. They owe water as well, and they're turning water off tomorrow, unless otherwise.
They're about $8,000, I believe.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. So just wanted you to let you know we are actively monitoring and participating and existing. Keep you
from what I hear, it's the same owner in multiple.
Yes, it's the owner.
Properties.
The owner has, that's my understanding as well, there are multiple. There's this property, and there are others. So I do want to say that we're a compassionate utility, and this is a tough situation for the families that live there. It's hard to see, but we have to protect all our ratepayers. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, here are your reminders. I hope to see. Well, I know I won't see everyone this Saturday at KUA's holiday gatherings, but wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year if I don't see you. That's all I've got, Madam Chair.
I just wanted to say thank you to all the KUA employees. I think everybody's had a pretty good year.
Excellent. Echoes everyone's words. Thank you once again for the great job you guys do all year round, and looking forward to Saturday night. We always have a good time at those Christmas parties. And Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Diddle, diddle, diddle.
Wonderful 2019.
Right, it was very good for KUA, and you all are the reason for it. Not us. We just sit up here and say yes, 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 you know. And so it's all yours. I will say that whatever holiday you celebrate, I wish you most happiness and most blessings.
And I thank everybody, and thanks for helping me get into this seat and knowing what to do. And Merry Christmas. And one other piece of business,
yes,
if Dr. Hill will come up and...
You thought you were going to go.
Surprise.
You weren't.
I see. As we all know, Dr. Hill will be retiring wonderful member of our team and our executive team. So instrumental in a lot of the things that we've been able to accomplish here at PUA. We've got a proclamation here that
very small.
A lot. I'm going to try to read it. Oh, Whereas Dr. Wilbur Hill began his career as Vice President of Human Resources with the Kissimmee Utility Authority on December 11, 2002, and whereas during his 17 years of service, Wilbur supported the growth of KUA's workforce and enhanced all aspects of utilities' human resource operations, including employment, benefits, administration, compensation, hiring, training, and development, workplace safety, and employee relations. And whereas Wilbur was an employee advocate, ensuring that every employee is treated with dignity and respect, ensuring inclusiveness and diversity, and whereas Wilbur earned his doctorate in counseling from Trinity Theological Seminary while employed with KUA, and whereas Wilbur earned the designation of Public Management Association Certified Professional in 2001, and whereas Wilbur was named to the American Public Power Association Honor Roll in 2017 for his work and contribution to public power. And whereas Wilbur's leadership, KUA was continuously named one of Central Florida's top companies for working families by the Orlando Sentinel and recognized as a fit-friendly company by the American Heart Association. And whereas Wilbur's leadership, KUA's continuously received the Florida Municipal Electric Association Safety Award for safe operating practices, and whereas Wilbur has made significant and lasting contributions towards the work life KUA employees, retirees, and families by the establishment of a wellness committee, and whereas Wilbur's leadership contributions to KUA have played an integral role in the utility's growth and success, and being therefore proclaimed that the KUA Board of Directors, President, General Manager, and staff of the City Utility Authority express their heartfelt thanks for great and great appreciation for the outstanding contributions Dr. Wilbur Hill has made over the years, and be it further proclaimed, and henceforth, the Human Resource Conference Room will be known as the Dr. Wilbur Hill Conference Room, and will be referred to as such with appropriate signage displayed. Wow.
Congratulations.
You've given me a subtle hint. I've got to go get the gavel.
I got to leave my boss.
Okay.
Thank you to all my HR team who made me achieve and be successful. So I appreciate it. And again, thank you, Board, for entrusting me with the leadership of the Human Resources Department. I am gratified.
We're going to miss you.
I will miss you all too.